Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Hart bringing us back. Ann and Nancy Wilson, the Wilson sisters, 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and ageofthecustomer.com. That's the one for my new book. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the founder of the Financial Seminary, the author of Look Up America, among other books. And that's financialseminary.org. Is that right?
That's it.
Financialseminary.org. Check that out, folks. Gary, and folks, we're talking about capitalism, where it came from, where it was, and what it looks like now. You came up with a term that you when you and I talked about this in the past, you called it financial capitalism and, as I remember, and management capitalism. I think that was the way you described it. Folks, we've got right now on Wall Street, we've got people using the financial industry as a form of capitalism, and all they're doing is, as Gary said earlier, moving money around and not adding value back to the economy. And Gary, this is why I came up with the term that the stock market is no longer a leading indicator of the economy. It's merely a leading indicator of itself. But meanwhile, out here on Main Street, Gary, we're still practicing the old kind of capitalism, but we're getting left out by the people who have all the money.
That's exactly right, Jim. I'm actually producing, instead of a new book, finding people are becoming more visually oriented. And yep. My webpage now, website has a video that I'm doing for a couple hundred churches in Chicago that talks specifically about that. And I actually use the term capitalism as a term that in its extreme form, as opposed to how you and I understand it, as used by Ayn Rand and Milton Friedman. You know, mm-hmm. Milton Friedman at Chicago School of Economics says businesses have no social responsibilities other than to make money. They don't need to create jobs. They don't need to create good products and so on. And that thinking has infiltrated the top echelon of corporate America. And it's certainly infiltrated Wall Street. And not universally, but in many, many cases. And last night, even after I was reading The Economist magazine, and it got into the recently announced mergers. You know, this is going to be an all-time record year for mergers and acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
And The Economist...
Let me stop you, Gary, for a second. Folks, yeah. That's another example of where corporations are spending their cash that they've been hoarding to buy other companies, to reinvest in their own stock or buy other companies, instead of investing it in the economy and let it come down to help small businesses with contracts and small businesses to grow. Gary, what you just said, this M&A stuff, it's another way of splitting up Wall Street and Main Street.
Well, first of all, the investment bankers are going to make a fortune off of it. The CEOs of Baker Hughes is going to make $10 million or more. And basically, if you look at Halliburton stock, the acquirer, is down 10% since the deal was announced.
Mm-hmm.
So the Baker Hughes shareholders make money, and that's generally what the economists concluded, is that there is one side that makes money, and that's the side that gets acquired. But basically, the whole idea is rationalized, Jim, by what we call efficiencies, i.e. Halliburton is saying, look, we're doing similar things, so we're going to lay off a bunch of Baker Hughes people. In essence, the CEO's even gone. He's getting well compensated, but what about the rest of the people? Meanwhile, no more oil wells are going to be drilled. It's basically isn't really doing anything for the real economy in all likelihood, Jim, and that's been the knock on M&A forever. The real problem with M&A, as the economist points out, is, you know, nobody could get the money to do these deals in 08 when stock prices were real low.
Mm-hmm.
These deals can only be done now that there's easy money and money flowing everywhere,
right.
and Halliburton could go to the street. So one of the things I want to emphasize to your listeners who may find this sort of an esoteric conversation is that this is the peak. The economists had a chart that showed that these deals peaked in 1999 when the stock market peaked,
right.
Peaked again in 07 when the stock market peaked, and they're now back at a record level. So it's another sign that this market is getting fully valued and speculation is becoming a little too rampant.
Right. Well, and see, the thing is, Gary, what you have to look at, folks, in my opinion, Gary, is your share price. See, that drives everything, I think. And the analysts want their share prices up because they're investing in the companies. They want the share prices to grow. Share prices grow when profits grow. If the economy is not delivering profits like it was in 09 and 10, then you've got to look at other places to drive that bottom line. So they did that through cost cutting. The operators, as you've heard me say, Gary, got involved. They run the operators are running the companies instead of the merchants, and they drove the bottom line by squeezing profits out of operating and by working their people harder after they laid off so many people. Well, now. Is if the economy's picking up, they fought and with the, as you said, with the money available, the liquidity available to them that's not available to Main Street, now they found another way to drive their bottom line through mergers, as you say, mergers and acquisitions. They can drive that bottom line. They can affect the share price that way, but that leaves the Main Street economy out, doesn't it, Gary?
Got it. Exactly.
It leaves them out. It leaves us out, folks. And Gary, here's one quick thing. In the old days, meaning like 10 years ago, when companies invested in this in the economy, it was probably through a contract with a small business.
Well, that's where the expenditures on what we call CapEx, expenditures, have been shrinking for the last couple years and are projected to shrink for the next 3 years, Jim.
Yeah.
And the way I like to say it is it's very hard to shrink your way to grow.
My dad called it starving profit out of an animal, out of
there
your herd.
You
starving profit. He said, son, you can't starve profit out of your herd. He told me that many years ago. Quick break. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.